public of knowledge. They're getting rid of people that are going against them too. You have judges, and I reflect back this judge. She was an Afro-American judge. They found her in the river, and she had a needle prick in her back of her neck. Mm. You find they're getting people that will cause problems. African-American who was a chemist who discovered things that will bring a healing to something they said they can't be. You have to take medicine for the rest of your life. And I forget their names, and next time, and forgive me, I will get their names. But it's an ongoing thing. You have people who are ending up dead mysteriously. Mm-hmm. And you also talked about World War III. And I says, you know what? World War III is first going to happen in America if Trump keeps tooting his horn. And the reason why I say that, because he is putting out threats already. If something happened to him, there's something get ready to go down.
That's right.
Basically, that's what he said. And if people would pay attention, I told my son, I said, listen, I need to go get me some more ammo. I need to go get me some more of this, and I need to go get me some of that. And my daughter said, Mom, it's going to come to the place where, because after he gives his signal, now you thought the insurrection was something? It's going to go down worse than that, because he's already said. And then we think, we say, well, he doesn't have any power. They're going to put him in prison. A whole lot of mafia men running stuff from the prison.
I know, right?
that don't make it be silent. Mm-hmm. I really believe that's why there is a hesitancy, and another reason, a hesitancy of throwing this man in jail. He should have been under the jail, like I said before. But because he has certain powers, they have to dispel, okay? They have to do something. If they don't, I really believe that he's going to make a plea and boom, all hell's going
to
break loose.
Well, he's already signaled. He's already signaled to them about that. But I'm going to tell you, we need to get out and vote. We need to do something. Uh-huh. I don't think that the Senate, I would love for them to get rid of that doggone electoral college. Now, I don't know whether you guys have noticed or not, but more recently, they've been coming out and talking about, if it wasn't for Putin, Trump wouldn't have been president. I really believe that. They were discounting that. Remember, the politicians were discounting that. Says no. Putin did meddle, but it didn't affect the outcome. That's a lie.
Yes, it did. We all know that's where the meddling led to. I mean, there was an email from, you know, one of the emails that they released where the woman who wrote the email said Putin has thrown the election to Trump. I mean, they admitted it in the emails that it was Putin helping Trump win. So we already know. They can try to sugarcoat that as much as they want to, but we knew before the Mueller investigation that was the outcome. But that outcome came about because of Russian interference, which is why I think you're seeing a whole lot of the United States and NATO allies working so hard to help Ukraine. You know, people are like, you know, there are other wars, there are things going on in Africa and whatnot. They're not giving them half the attention. Okay, well, Putin was meddling in the United States affairs as well as the affairs of the people in Europe. As a matter of fact, Italy is about to have an election, and it's looking like their far right leader is about to rise up. Let's, you know, say a Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert type is about to be their, you know, their leader if she wins the election. And I don't know if she will or won't, but they lean more towards fascism in her political group. But I think just because of what Putin did, like, for instance, the British don't like to talk about it, but they were meddling in the Brexit vote as well as meddling in the U.S. election and a lot of other things. So is NATO sort of getting payback for that? Yeah. In my opinion, especially the United States, because what Putin has done, in my opinion, almost amounts to an act of war. We literally, like Dr. Sims has said, we're on the brink of civil war right here in the United States. Mm. And they've been calling for it, especially since Trump you know, was in the White House, and since he got out, they've been calling for secession. They've been calling for revolution slash civil war. They've been making it really clear that they are violently opposed to anything that is not Trump, that's not Trump, that's not MAGA, right, that's not Republican, and right, that they're willing to fight for it. Now, the Democratic Party has been trying to, you know, not be as forceful, but I was very relieved to finally hear President Biden sound the alarm on the MAGA people. I think it was last week or the week before that. My thing is, you should have been doing that while you were even on the campaign trail.
Right.
We the Democrats are not sounding the alarm enough.
That's what I'm
in
saying,
my opinion. And I'm thinking it may be too late by the time they finally do try to rally everybody around the fact that our democracy is truly in trouble. We are either going to lose it, we're going to end up in the civil war, or we are going to do what it takes to turn it around, and that is vote straight Democrat.
That's right.
Nothing Republican needs to be elected. I mean, not for the next, you know, couple of decades. You don't need to vote for anything that's Republican. And we need to get, you know, this supermajority out of the Supreme Court. I'm not saying, you know, that necessarily impeach them, but
yeah,
there is a set number of justices that you can have on the Supreme Court. Right now you've got 6 in favor of the Republicans. You need to add at least 6 more.
That's right. I agree.
You know, on the side of the Democrat, because there's no set number. You can have this, you know, you can have less than 9, you can have more than 9. The Constitution doesn't say one way or the other. But if we don't, it's one thing to elect your officials. It's, as you can see, another battle going on the legal side, because they have attacked our checks and balances.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There is no separation, you know, the separation of powers the way it's supposed to be, not to mention the separation of church and state. They're trying to blend those things together. And they're breaking down the separation of church and state and making it more about political party, which is leaning us more into this fascism.
That's right.
Dictatorship. So we got a problem on several fronts that needs to be addressed now, sooner rather than later.
Well, you know, what's really strange to me is that I would think that most Americans would frown on the way that the people in North Korea are being treated, the people in Russia are being treated, the people in China, the way they're being treated, the people in Iran, the way they're being treated. How could they go along with this and say, no, we need to be just like them? I don't understand it. It doesn't even resonate in my brain how anybody with an ounce of common sense. Now, I understand the people that are too stupid, probably didn't graduate from high school or even graduated from the sixth grade, like Jethro, you know, Jethro, what was that, Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh my gosh, you are not talking about them. Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop.
Oh my goodness.
It was a bunch of tell you a story about a man named Jeff. Stop it.
It's a bunch of Jeffros out here. A bunch of Jeffros, and I'm telling you, I'm telling you right now.
But William, don't you think that a whole lot of brainwashing has been done? I mean,
of course it is.
I mean, there's some things that are just right on the table. And if you stand, then you still can't see it.
Yeah, but okay? If you don't have the ability to think for yourself, you don't have that ability to think for yourself. You know,
because you've been brainwashed.
Brainwashed.
Okay, you got the first of all. If it's right on the table and it's evident and you can see it, you got to look at it. If the table is in front
true.
Of me,
that's
but I got my back to it, I can't see it. So if they watching Fox News instead of NBC, you know, if they listen to QAnon, you know, instead of reading the Washington Post, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you can't see the comet going across the sky if you're looking down at the dirt. It's just not going to happen.
But Ann, there's some people looking at it, Ann, I'm telling you, and that's all good what you're saying. I agree totally, 100. But there's some people, and I know this. Okay, some people looking at stuff talking about, ooh, I don't know. Really, dude? You're looking at it and
they can't think for themselves.
That's what it is. They're not thinking.
That's the thing. Mm-hmm. You got two different two different sets of people in this. You've got the ones who are looking at it and are thinking, for instance, when January 6th was going on, they started planning right then and there how to spin it. So they were seeing what was happening. Those. And then they decided, oh, we're going to downplay this and say, oh, it's just, some rioters who got out of hand. We're going to say it was just, you know, the beforehand, it, you know, it was just some people, walking through the Capitol on a tour. No, we doing reconnaissance. No, you got people trying to overthrow the government and we're watching this in real time. Yes. And so then when you have these people who are there at the doggone, Capitol when it happens, being rushed to safety, but then they come out and say it wasn't as bad as it's supposed to be on, say, Fox News or something like that.
In the Congress.
Right. And you got these people just getting their news from that type of news source. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They may have seen it, but, and they want to believe the lie instead of the truth. That's what the Bible
The Bible talks about that. Well, the Bible said they'd rather believe a lie than the truth. Right. But you know what, Anna, and to piggyback on you, I've watched some court cases or you watch some things that are disclosed in the news and they tend to, fabricate a lot when the evidence is right there before you. Right. They'll make you think that you didn't believe what you really saw.
That's
like
right.
You said. And they know how to do digital revamping and things like that. And like they, like you were saying about the insurrection, if people were just really stuck on stupid on purpose, okay, they would make you believe that those folks was doing an awesome job. Yeah. And coming against and going in and you saw the volatile behavior there. They'll make you think, no, they were just excited, you know, and things like that. Mm. See, it is a mind game that people have been, have succumbed to, not just now, but it's been happening for years. It right. is a slow process. They're using media. They're using, I'm telling you, these iPads. They're using all of that. Mm-hmm. And you brought out something once before that you told your children about the strategic move of media, iPads, regardless. And I was trying to find that. I need to get that from you again, where they strategically, these things are brainwashing us.
That's right. They use them as tools.
If you're not conscious, if you don't have a strong mind, if you don't, sometimes I have to say, whoa. Okay. Mm-hmm. Back up off of it. It's like you're hypnotized by this stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay. Till it's got you so grafted in. The Bible says you don't even know whether to believe a lie than the truth. That's the way society is going.
That's the way
it's going. So everything can appear to be fictional. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you cannot decipher and strong enough to separate and say, nah, bro, this is not what it is. I see this and this is what it is. Okay. Mm-hmm. They'll have you believe that the man that stabbed your wife was really hugging her. Okay.
No. Hey, look,
but real talk though here.
You're not Paul.
Make you think that he was just hugging her. She got about 15 stab wounds in the back.
You're not you Paul.
Know what I'm telling you. Right. This is, and you say, Dr. Sam, you're getting overboard. Nope. No, because this is the picture that they have been painting. Okay. Mm-hmm. They'll make you think that the man who raped a child, that's what he wasn't doing. He was just holding her. No. And she's all jacked up on the inside.
Oh, Lord.
Because I'm telling you, this is, and these attorneys put out this foolishness. News media put out these foolishness. You got, game shows that's putting on this craziness. You got cartoons that are propaganding against the Lord. You got a whole bunch of foolishness that's out there. So you got people, if they are not strengthened in their mindsets, and guess what? Mm-hmm. If your home is jacked up, if people in the home, your home is jacked up, family, I'm going way over, okay, is jacked up, then who's going to bring people to reality but God? Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Period.
You're exactly right. You know, I'm going to tell you something. It's just like, and it's all over the board, and it's QAnon mess. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but in one of Trump's last rallies, he was wearing a QAnon pin. He was wearing a QAnon pin, and they have some salute where they're holding one finger up. It was the whole crowd up there holding up one finger. And these people are extremely dangerous. And I believe it's Congressman or Senator who ran like a rat. No, not that one. Who hid behind the Capitol Police when the insurrection was going on. I mean, and as a matter of fact, he was behind this big thing that they put in front of the door, some big piece of furniture, large piece of furniture. And then a few days later, he's on TV, says, Well, if you didn't look at it, you would think it was just a normal tourist visit. Now, you know this guy. You know this was a complete fabrication, just a lie. It makes no sense whatsoever. Now, we've got a few minutes left. We got about 35 minutes left, and I want to play something here. And again, vote, folks, your vote means everything, because we've got a complete clowns in Congress, complete clowns in the city. And I'm telling you, I don't think that there was any corporation that would hire most of these people. I mean, mm-hmm. for a regular job, I really don't think so. So I think one of the easiest jobs to get is in the Senate and in the Congress. You just have to get enough people to vote for you. I mean, that's what it is. Because I don't understand how any of these people could have, if they graduated from college, I don't see how they could have. Okay, but I'm going to play this right now. And this is one of our favorite congressmen out of Florida. You'll recognize him. Now, this came from TYT, and this is Dr. Rashad Ritchie. What's it? Uh-oh. Let me get the sound correct on that for you, and I'll be right back. Okay, but anyway, a couple of things I had written down, and let me share this with you right here. Okay, we talked about, let's see. Oh, boy, and we're going to save this to next week. But we also, I want to talk about Pastor Bling Bling.
Oh, my God. No, don't go there him. Because you bring it. Come on with it.
Pastor Bling Bling.
I'm ready for him.
The last thing, have you guys seen the latest? He's the one. Oh, yeah, he should have gotten arrested, but they didn't charge him for some strange reason. Did you see this last, this service that they posted on YouTube?
He
choked this woman.
I heard that he had gotten in trouble again. I was like, bruh.
He choked her, but because he's friends with the mayor, they didn't even arrest him, nor did they make him.
They arrested him, but they let him go, but they
charged her.
Yeah, for trespassing.
And they charged her.
That's
he called
right.
her to the front, and she was speaking in her heavenly language. He lied and said she was going after his wife
That's
and
right.
his child, and he grabbed her by, it literally showed it in this video, he grabbed her by her neck. She has a scratch on her neck.
It was violent.
He said she came and infiltrated the service. She went after to be volatile towards the wife. He lied through his days.
Oh, so hold. The woman was speaking in tongues, and
yes.
he interpreted the tongues to be a threat against his wife.
You know, he didn't. He didn't interpret no tongues, girl. Wait a minute.
I'm trying to understand.
I know you're trying to understand.
If it's on video, she's speaking in another tongue.
He called her up, and she's doing a research on leadership and things like that. And so she's right in the process of writing a book. So she went to visit the church, not to cause any problems. She did the testing and everything from what this, I saw this on this article that says, and it says that, he called her up front.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And she was speaking in her, she was just walking and speaking in her heavenly language. He grabbed her by it. He grabbed
it was violent.
By her neck and
very violent
her and said, get her out of here. Get her out of here. He made it look like she was after his wife and his child. But let me tell you what's going on. In her heavenly language, you know that spirit that dwells in Mr. Bling Bling ain't no good. You know that, right? And whenever the Lord is exposing, guess what? Sometimes them demons get very volatile,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what was going on. And then, too, because he's kissing the mayor's behind, all right?
Yeah. That's right.
And so he got off, and then so a lot of those policemen are in with cahoots with the mayor and what have you. So the enemy, you know, they look out for each other, all right? And so this is what's going on because she was exposing him and he knows that. Okay. There's mm-hmm. more to this brother than meets the eye. All right.
That's right.
And so she did not go there she just went there to have service with him.
Well,
he literally went to that police force and lied out of his teeth.
And that's right. And he was not charged. Now women, hold it.
Nothing.
She's
still going to this church.
That's a great question. That's a great question.
See, ignorance is not bliss.
And
I'm
see,
telling
that's,
you.
And that's dangerous. So those people,
yeah, it is.
It's that Jim Jones type syndrome.
There you
okay,
go, that part.
They will follow anything, just like Trump. These people following him. But you're exactly right. Now, number one, They locked her, or they locked her up. They charged her for trespassing. Now, how are you going to trespass in a church?
Right. Well, you know, we actually have, you know, a few weeks back been talking about that. They had the white deacons out at the white church to keep the black folks from coming in. So apparently trespassing is possible.
Well, yeah.
She did not trespass.
I'm not saying she trespassed. I'm saying that there's a group of people out there who believes in trespassing on church ground.
Unbelievable.
And apparently this was another one of them groups. Didn't know that black people did it too, but okay. We have found out. We learned something new on this day.
Man.
But this is after the fact, because they never asked her. They didn't ask her to leave before he choked her, right?
After he choked her,
what he didn't say, he didn't say you're trespassing. He said he told whoever his henchmen were there.
He said get her out of here.
He said drag her out.
That's exactly what he said.
Drag. Wow. Now come on.
And she's speaking her heavenly language, talking to the Lord, and you're gonna drag her out now, right?
Unbelievable.
That don't make sense.
The way he attacked her, I don't know whether you saw it or not, Ann, but it was violent. The way he grabbed
it's on YouTube, man.
I heard about them talking about it on the Ricky Smiley Morning Show. On the way to work, they were talking about him. They were like, "Now, did he just get robbed?" And, you know.
And see the thing about
it. He should be staying under the radar at this point. I'm like, you would think, but,
And I don't believe it was $1 million worth of jewelry either. I don't believe it was $1 million.
You know it wasn't. Come on.
I think he's doing that for
him. Moody said it was the, Kmart.
I believe it.
He had on Cuban zirconia. Is that what you're saying? It was fake.
And he filed an insurance claim, right?
But
they said that he's got a lot of debt, right? So I'm thinking, okay.
He's selling one of his million-dollar homes or something like that.
One of them?
Not worth what he's saying. One of them,
Oh, really? Pastor Bling. I'm sure we're gonna hear more about him. Now let's go to this clip. I've got this thing ready here. Now we're gonna listen to this one, right? Speaking of Pastor Bling, Dr. Rashad Ritchie, I'm about to play a clip by him rather, and he said, "Hey brother, the one that choked you choking the women in church. Where was all that machoism when you were being robbed?
Right.
Why do you choke the dude who had the gun?
Yeah.
Right.
And where was all your bodyguards then?
Absolutely. All right.
Because he didn't want to get shot.
But he's a tough guy, right? Okay.
Right.
Watch this.
Matt Gaetz has basically admitted that he did, in fact, traffic at least one underage child for sexual purposes. Let me take you to the latest update to the Matt Gaetz saga. As you know, he's under criminal investigation by the DOJ for trafficking a minor across state lines for sexual purposes. Well, it looks like he sought a pardon. We had a rumor about this a few months ago. Now it has been confirmed. Congressman Matt Gaetz preemptively sought a presidential pardon relating to an ongoing investigation into whether he sex trafficked a 17-year-old, according to reporting by the Washington Post. Sources familiar with the testimony told the Washington Post that Johnny McEntee, a staffer in the Donald Trump White House, told United States House Select Committee on the January 6th attack that he received the request from Representative Gaetz around the time of the Capitol terrorist attack. Now, let me first qualify my initial statement. When I said that Matt Gaetz has basically admitted to this particular crime, I stand by that statement. He was seeking what's called a blanket pardon. They also call it a preemptive pardon. But the pardon is not unprecedented. Something similar happened with Nixon when he was pardoned. Here's the thing. The word pardon itself is an admission of guilt. It means forgiveness of a crime. That's what it means. So if you're seeking a pardon, you're seeking forgiveness of a crime. Why is he seeking forgiveness of a crime he never committed? A pardon is, in fact, an admission or acknowledgement of guilt. This is not overturning a conviction. This is not exoneration. This is a pardon. He was seeking a pardon. He was seeking forgiveness for the crime. All right, the timeline now is settled. We know he was well aware of this investigation while he was, in fact, serving on the House Judiciary Committee, and he still serves on the House Judiciary Committee. Why is that a problem? Because the House Judiciary Committee, they are in charge of oversight for the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice is investigating Matt Gaetz, who's on their committee to oversee them. Mm. He has not even been told to resign by Republican leaders in his party. How ironic is that? There's more. So the staff member, McAtee, testified that Gaetz, the congressman, told him he was aware of an investigation being launched into his conduct that, and I quote, he did not do anything wrong, but they are trying to make his life hell. And, you know, if the president could give him a pardon, that would be great, the Washington Post reported. He also testified that Gaetz said he asked the White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows for a pardon as well. So let's go to the Department of Justice. So you got this probe from the Department of Justice into whether Matt Gaetz had a sexual relationship with an underage girl and paid her to travel with him. It was first reported in 2021 and continues to be investigated today. So here's what a spokesperson from the good congressman's office said. Now, this is really ironic. I want you to listen to the gaslighting, the manipulation, the sleight of hand here, so to speak, by this spokesperson. It says, and I quote, Congressman Matt Gaetz discussed pardons for many other people publicly and privately at the end of President Donald Trump's first term. As for himself, President Trump addressed this malicious rumor more than a year ago, stating, Congressman Matt Gaetz has never asked me for a pardon. Representative Gaetz continues to stand by President Trump's statement. You see, the allegation is not Matt Gaetz asking Trump. The allegation is Matt Gaetz asking other members of the Trump White House. And they were very careful not to say Matt Gaetz never requested a pardon for those alleged crimes. They will only say, well, Donald Trump said he never asked him, so we're going to stand behind what Donald Trump said. So we won't stand behind what Matt Gaetz is saying. We're going to stand behind what Donald Trump said about Matt Gaetz, and I'm standing behind that. Ridiculous. There's more. The spokesperson did not respond to questions about whether Matt Gaetz denied the conversations about pardons with McEntee or Meadows occurred. The GOP congressman voted, what? Against reauthorizing a sex trafficking law in July. Voted against it. Has received ongoing support from former President Trump related to the investigation, despite the fact that Trump has called for the death of human traffickers. Mm. That's what Donald Trump said. He said they should die. Not my words, Trump's words. Are you going to stand by that one too, Matt Gaetz, since you're standing by the statements of Trump? Okay. Senator Turner, thoughts on this ever-evolving and ridiculously complicated and insanely hypocritical.
I'm going to stop this right now. Okay. And do you concur, do you agree with Dr. Ritchie that a pardon, if you ask for a pardon, you're really admitting guilt? Because he was asking for a blanket pardon. I remember him doing this on TV. And he was saying, he didn't say anything about him. He was saying that, Donald Trump, at that time, former President Trump, I hate even using that in the same sentence. But anyway, Trump, prior to that, he said, and this is the thing about, he said, Trump should give everybody, just issue blanket pardons. He never mentioned his name. But like Dr. Ritchie was saying, if you look at the sleight of hand there, okay, he's asking, Mark Meadows, who's the chief of staff, he's asking other staff members to go and run interference for him with the president to get him a pardon, right? Mm-hmm. Now, maybe he already knew, said, well, okay, I don't want to go directly to Trump because I don't want him implicated in this at all, right? but I need to get a message to him. Look, I need a pardon. Hey, bro, help me out, because I'm up here. I'm your lap dog. I'm doing all this stuff, running interference for you, so I need you to help me out. And what is your take on that?
Well, that is not entirely true. As a matter of fact, the Washington Post pretty much debunked five myths about presidential pardons when Trump was in office, because you remember everybody wanted a doggone pardon from Trump. And he was handing them out, you know, like they were
candy.
Like they were candy, pretty much. But this June 7th, 2018 article kind of breaks it down. I think it'll help everybody understand. It's entitled Five Myths About Presidential Pardons, and it's written by Brian C. Looks like Kate or Cult, and it's dated June 7th, 2018. To get one, do you have to be convicted first? President Trump is in a pardon frenzy. Last month, he dispensed absolution for boxer Jack Johnson and pundit Dinesh D'Souza, and this past week, he declared that he can even pardon himself. A White House official told the Washington Post that Trump is now obsessed with pardons, his new favorite thing. The pardon power is the most king-like power our presidents have. They can apply it whenever and to whomever they like. Still, many misconceptions around this constitutional prerequisite. I think they meant to say there are many misconceptions surround this constitutional prerequisite. So number one, you must be charged and convicted before you can be pardoned. Social media discussions about Trump and his pardons are rife with errors, with hundreds of commentators believing that only people convicted of a crime can be pardoned, must go to trial and be convicted before pardon can be offered, reads one such tweet. Another taunts, at real Donald Trump, hey dummy, you have to be convicted of a crime before you can pardon yourself. After all, some state governors are limited in this way. So he's not a governor of a state. Obviously, he's a president. Presidents are not. Most pardons are funneled to the president through the Justice Department's Office of the Pardon Attorney, which considers applications only from people who have already served their sentences. But presidents can and do bypass that process. In Ex Parte Garland, the Supreme Court settled the question of preemptive pardons. The justices in that 1866 case decided that while pardons could reach only past acts, the pardon may be exercised at any time after the act's commission, either before legal proceedings are taken or during their pendency or after conviction and judgment. Even before Garland, President Abraham Lincoln, among others, pardoned dozens of people, including alleged traitors, preemptively. More recently, President Jimmy Carter pardoned hundreds of thousands of Vietnam draft evaders, including those who had not been charged or convicted. And most famously, President Gerald Ford pardoned President Richard Nixon, who had not yet been charged with anything. So hopefully that gives everybody an idea, but there's another one, and this is on down the list. It says pardons are only for guilty people. Accepting one is an admission of guilt. So this one will directly answer the question. In 1915, the Supreme Court wrote in Burdick versus United States that a pardon carries an imputation of guilt, acceptance of confession of it. Over the years, many have come to see a necessary relationship between a pardon and guilt. Ford carried the Burdick quote in his wallet, defending the Nixon pardon by noting that it established Nixon's guilt. More recently, MSNBC host Melbertonet Arpaio by saying he admitted he was guilty when he accepted Trump's pardon. But Burdick was about a different issue, the ability to turn down a pardon. The language about imputing and confessing guilt was just an aside, what lawyers call dicta. The court meant that as a practical matter, because pardons make people look guilty, a recipient might not want to accept one. But pardons have no formal legal effect of declaring guilt. Indeed, in rare cases, pardons are used to exonerate people. This was Trump's rationale for posthumously pardoning boxer Jack Johnson, the victim of a racially based railroading in 1913. Ford pardoned Eva Taguri, Daquino, excuse me, World War II's Tokyo Rose, after 60 Minutes revealed that she was an innocent victim of prosecutors who suborned perjury testimony in her treason case. President George H.W. Bush pardoned Caspar Weinberger because he thought the former defense secretary indicted in the Iran-Contra affair was a victim of the criminalization of policy differences. If the president pardons you because he thinks you are innocent, what guilt could accepting that pardon possibly admit? So hopefully that those two things make it a bit clearer. If not, let me explain one more thing to you. When they talk about dicta, I know that's a term that a lot of people don't know, may not have heard, is legalese. Let's just say you've got an opinion, a majority opinion written by the Supreme Court, and then you have a concurrent opinion, or you have a dissenting opinion. Sometimes we will refer to what was written as being dicta in one of those opinions instead of just saying it's the actual rule of law. I hope that kind of clears it up for you.
Right. Well, let me ask you a question. If you're not guilty, then why are you asking for a pardon?
Okay. William, you will have to ask the people who ask for pardons. I don't know.
I would love to ask. No.
I honestly don't know. Now, there are people who, like, for instance, I think Kim Kardashian was asking for a pardon for a woman who was already in prison.
That's right.
On drug charges. Obviously, you know, there was an issue with the fairness of the sentencing on this particular woman versus other people. But why somebody who, say for instance, was organizing the January 6th rally would feel the need to ask for a pardon, you know, when everything got out of hand, you know, you have to ask them.
Right. No, I mean,
I can look at the footage and get a good idea why, but
I would love to ask them.
Innocent, I don't know why they would need to ask.
That's exactly right. I think that's what Richie was alluding to, because you're right though. You have to be convicted of a crime, but see, he asked for a blanket pardon just in case he got convicted. If I haven't done anything wrong, okay, if I'm not under it, because keep in mind, he's been under investigation for a while. He was under investigation while Trump was still president, right? And his buddy is still in prison. Now, I'm having a problem with the DOJ now because they are recommending not to charge him because they say that the key witness doesn't seem credible. Now, this is the guy that was palling around with Gates, the one that Gates was sending the Venmo through the Venmo app, sending cash to this guy. It's been confirmed. And I would think that the young lady who was alleged to be 17 at that time, I would think that she would be a credible witness. I mean, I would think that. So, again, okay. I'm not disagreeing with anything that you're saying, but my take, again, is if I'm not guilty, why would I ask for a pardon? Now, I understand that he would have to be convicted of it, but I'm thinking he want that thing in his pocket. So in case he is convicted, he can pull it out.
Well, that's the thing. If he gets a presidential pardon before they even bring charges, all of that goes away.
Okay.
So there's not going to be, you know, if it's a preemptive pardon, what's the point of wasting the resources of continuing investigation, taking it to trial, and convicting this person when nothing's going to come from? He's already been pardoned from this particular issue. So that they wouldn't do that. And then another thing is, prosecutors have what's called prosecutorial discretion. So they're going to look at the case and they're going to decide whether or not they can move forward. Mm-hmm. I don't know the 17-year-old girl. I don't know, you know, what they saw that would make them think when looking at the evidence, excuse me, and the witnesses that they had, that they would not be able to win this case, because very often that's what it is. If it's a case that's winnable, more than likely they will move forward. Or, you know, if it's one of those cases, that's high profile and it's marginal, okay, maybe, you know, there's a chance that they'll lose, but more than likely they'll be able to pull it off, they're going to go forward. But this is a case against a politician, a very high profile politician. Can they win this particular case? So I don't know what they had to look at or what all factors went into it. I do know, you know, from personally speaking, although I was not a prosecutor, when I did, you know, work for the state in dependency neglect cases, basically when you are deciding whether or not you've got enough, you know, evidence to go to court in order to take a child from his or her parent, you know, you gotta have enough to make this stick. And if there's nothing there, if I'm looking at, you know, what my clients have given me and I don't have enough evidence to justify this, then what I'm going to do is dismiss the case. So I don't know, again, having not seen what they saw, I don't know what it was that made them think that, okay, this one should not be moved forward. We shouldn't prosecute this case. But I'm just trying to give you an idea of what their processes could be. Who knows? Maybe the girl went back and forth. Maybe she decided she didn't want to testify. Maybe
she was threatened.
And I don't know if it's her. You know, I'm just guessing.
Right, right.
I'm just giving you examples. Let's put it that way. You know, maybe they didn't have the physical evidence, or the corroborating evidence they thought they had, you know, didn't pan out. Who knows, what went into their decision making. I can only tell you that, that it was up to them to decide whether or not they had enough to win. Now, whether there was something else going on, I don't know, but usually that's what goes into whether or not you decide to move forward with the case.
Right. Well, I disagree with that too, Dr. Sims. Those prosecutors, they say, well, if I can't win it, then I'm not going to bring it. I think that's wrong. If you have, I understand if you have no evidence, but if you have a couple of things going on, you have several people that you can call now. They didn't mention the 17-year-old girl not being shaky or whatever it is. Now, she's the victim there, but they would talk about his buddy that's sitting in prison right now that's been talking to the feds. He's been talking to the feds for several months, and they've delayed sentencing him because they're still gathering information. Now, I don't know why it's taking a whole year for them to get what they need. But I disagree with a lot of prosecutors. Well, I don't think we have enough to bring it. I don't know what it is. Well, if you lose the case, so what? Bring it.
Well, they gotta be up for re-election. Those numbers don't look good when it's time to be up for re-election, that's part of the problem. Then number two, you gotta think about it. You know, the resources, they're spending taxpayers' money. So they're on a budget and there's only, you know, a finite amount. But there are times when I don't agree. You know, back when I was, handling a dependency neglect case, you know, it strengthens my case if charges are brought against the person, involved who were abusing or neglecting a child. So I've got, you know, a 14-year-old who's been, molested or whatnot. And then they're telling me, no, we're not going to bring it because she consented. She is 14. She cannot consent. Read the criminal code. There's something called statutory rape.
That's right.
And at age of 14, she cannot consent. So why are we having this? This is a no-brainer. But this was an argument, you know what I'm saying, that I'm having with they didn't want to do it, this particular person on that particular case. So no, I don't agree with, I haven't agreed, let's put it that way, every single time they've exercised their discretion, in a case, but it's still up to the prosecutor whether or not they feel they can, prove their case and win.
Well, you know, I tell you what, they don't hesitate to charge black folks, do they? I mean, doing a snippet of information, and a lot of the information, is not accurate. Look how many, men that are in jail right now falsely. And you hearing here lately, this guy spent 25 years in prison for something he didn't do. 40 years in prison for something he didn't do. 15
look at
years.
Emmett. Emmett got murdered for a lie.
Yeah, look, okay? I'm telling
without
you.
Without even being just called for it, so.
And as a matter of fact, this woman who was part of it, as a matter of fact, the story goes on. I think The guys who did it, I think they are dead now, but the wife of one of the murderers, she's still living. And there was a warrant that was swept under the rug, and they decided not to arrest her because they said she had two small children, right? Now, she's 80-some years old now, and that warrant is still good, but they refused to arrest her. Now, she can be arrested now. It's my understanding. I don't know, Ann, you know more about this than I do. Dr. Dimmer, you can jump in here, too, now. They refused to charge her because when it first came out that they had found her, they know who she was. They, like I said, the sheriff in that town decided not to serve the warrant because she had two young children. Well, Emmett Till was dead. Okay. His mother never got a chance to see him after that. And they talk about
they found the warrant for her and they still didn't.
That's right. They found the warrant for her.
In fact, they did not serve her that warrant. That came out, oh goodness, I guess what about a year or something like that? It came out if I'm recollecting the time frame, but, she's very up in age, of course, now. I'm thinking that maybe it wouldn't be beneficial.
Why not?
To even put her in jail because it is clearly she falsified a accusation against Emmett, which caused him to, suffer death. Okay.
Let me ask you this.
They did not arrest her.
Let me ask you a question. 80-year-old woman goes and rob a bank. Okay, well, we're going to let you go. We're going to let you go because you're 80 years old.
She's swift and she can rob us a boat. Okay,
I'm just saying. Yeah, yeah, okay. No.
A lot of people, you know, look, we hear comedians tell jokes all the time about not getting stopped by the police because they got warrants. You know what I'm saying? So we do know that people get picked up on old warrants. I mean, I don't know what the warrant issue to her was, issue for her was. Was it, you know, was it for murder or for what? Now, I know.
She was the cause of him dying. Being brutally beaten. So they arrested her because she initiated the whole process.
She was part of
the lie that she told.
Right.
Well,
and that's why it resulted in his
death. As a matter of fact, the guys that killed him, they were never convicted. Right?
Mm. No, I thought one of them were.
Okay, we need
or something like that.
We need to do more research on this because I don't think either guy was convicted, but there were warrants out for all of them, right? They did arrest those two guys. But eventually, I think they were exonerated. I don't know how or why. Well, I do know why, but I don't know how. Because they had all the evidence they needed. But she was part of it. It was, and so her, that was a heavy warrant. It wasn't just a bounce check, you know, a traffic ticket or something like that. Mm-hmm. It was conspiracy to commit murder or lying or whatever it is, setting Emmett up. But they chose not to,
she confessed that she lied. That's the thing.
Well, after they found out.
She confessed that they found out, but she also confessed of the lie that he never did what she said. And her conscience was bothering her. If I read correctly, her conscience bothered her. But they also, before her conscience started bothering her, per their, I guess, investigation, there was a warrant that was hidden at the police precinct.
That's right.
Time.
They swept it under
the
rug.
Somebody discovered it.
That's right. They discovered that more recently, within the last year or so, they did discover that.
Yes.
Okay. Maybe a little bit longer, but I think within the year they did, within a year's time, rather. But like I said, they could have served that warrant and arrested her, now, or they could arrest her now, but they chose not to bring the case forward. I think that is awful. And I think.
Okay. I see what you're saying. There's an article for July 9th of this year. Emmett Till's family says authorities are protecting the woman accused in his death. Days after the discovery of an unserved warrant from 1955, advocates and relatives of Emmett Till say they are pressing authorities to arrest and charge the white woman who may be responsible for his murder and kidnapping. Mm-hmm. Priscilla Sterling, Till's cousin, urged Mississippi 4th Circuit Court District Attorney W. Dwayne Richardson during a news conference Thursday to issue the warrant for Carolyn Bryant Dunham's arrest nearly 70 years after Till was kidnapped and killed. Richardson's office would be responsible for handling a potential prosecution if the warrant for Dunham's arrest is served. I know that over a period of time, 67 years, nothing has been done as far as this warrant, Sterling told reporters. The family wants Carolyn Bryant to face justice. And by justice, we want her to at least come here and defend herself. The family feels both the federal government along with the state of Mississippi are protecting Bryant because of authorities telling Richardson to not move forward on the warrant, Sterling told reporters. So what is really going on here in the state of Mississippi, she added. The warrant must be issued. The warrant must be executed. Richardson's office did not immediately respond to NPR's request for comment. Mm-hmm. LaFleur County, Mississippi Sheriff Ricky Banks also did not immediately respond to NPR's request for comment. However, Banks told the Associated Press last month it was the first time he's known about the warrant. I will see if I can get a copy of the warrant and get with the DA and get their opinions on it, Banks told the Associated Press. If the warrant can still be served, Banks would have to speak with authorities in the state where Dunham currently resides, according to AP. The arrest warrant for Dunham, identified as Mrs. Roy Bryant, was dated August 29, 1955. The warrant itself was discovered last month by searchers inside a file folder that was placed inside a box. Mm. LaFleur County Circuit Clerk Elma Stockstill told the AP. Teal, who was just 14 years old at the time, was abducted, tortured, and killed in 1955 after he was accused of whistling at and grabbing Dunham, a white woman, while visiting relatives in Mississippi. Roy Bryant, Dunham's then husband, and J.W. Millam, Roy Bryant's half-brother, were tried for Teal's murder but were quickly acquitted by an all-white jury. Mm. Months later, both men admitted in a magazine interview mm-hmm. to murdering Teal. Nearly 50 years after the crime, Dunham told a historian that Teal had never put his hands on her. Dunham, who currently resides in North Carolina, has not yet commented publicly on the recent discovery of the arrest warrant.
Wow, wow, wow. Oh, let me get this in real quick. Oh, boy, Professor Pop Culture is listening. Elroy Boyd III, he wanted me to make an announcement about the Monday Night Madness show tomorrow. Guys got to check that out. It comes on at 8:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's 5:15 on the West Coast where you and Dr. Demery are, Dr. Sims. And these are, self-titled songs by the artists and groups. So that should be very interesting. So check that out tomorrow on Studio W, The Buzz. We out of time, folks. Wow. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And tell everyone about the Eden as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show and what's happening with your program. And then we'll go to Dr. Sims and then Dr. Demery.
Well, thanks everybody for tuning in to the Eden as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show. We have kind of wrapped up celebrating Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. Want to make sure our male listeners knew that we cared about them. So if you haven't gotten your prostate screening, please do. Go ahead and get scheduled to have your prostate checked because it's very, very important. And don't forget to tune in every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock a.m. Central Time for the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show right here on Studio W Buzz.
Hey, all right. Thank you so much for that. Dr. Sims, you have a show this week, and that is Mrs. CC's Kitchen. So tell us a little bit about that, the time, and how they can reach us.
Well, Miss CeCe's aired on Studio W Buzz. Miss CeCe's Kitchen is Real Talk, a global radio network, and this is where we deal with the good, bad, and ugly, and we love stirring up controversial issues. We are aired, like I said, on Studio W Buzz at 4 p.m. Eastern, I'm sorry, Pacific Standard Time, and 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are Real Talk right now. We are finishing up addressing some things, and I've also included the current event that is going on over in Britain that is very distasteful to myself. I'm just one person, but anyway, I'm going to stir up some trouble because I don't like it, okay? Mm-hmm. It is what it is. Come on in the kitchen
you can't take it, stay away. If I get on your nerves, keep it moving. It is what it is, okay?
If it's too hot in the kitchen.
If it's too hot, keep it moving. Yeah, you say she got an attitude? Yeah, I do. Because Satan got one and I got one too. How about that?
Dr. Demery, hey, tell us about your church. What can the people who's looking for a really good church, where can they find you?
Well, we're at 10 a.m. we start every Sunday, 1304 Barrel Avenue, right on Highway 38 in Mentone, California. If you want to come out, get challenged, and learn some theology, learn a fresh new look at Scripture, please come and join us. And I'm just glad to be a part of this panel, this distinguished panel, these wonderful people. William, congratulations to you for allowing this show to even be aired. And thank you for your continued effort in allowing us to be on the air.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's a pleasure having all of you. Now, Danny Tisdale should be with us next week. He's in Oklahoma. And I think they're celebrating their 100-year anniversary at his dad's church.
Wow. It's on social media. I saw it.
That's a blessing.
Very interesting.
Yes. Congratulations. Absolutely. Yeah. And I talked to Dr. Harris last night, and she's at a women's conference. I think she's in Georgia. I'm not exactly sure, but hopefully she'll be joining us soon as well. So, ladies, gentlemen, thank you so much. I love this show because, like Ann said, I might have to retitle it, What's Eating William this week. I might have to
do that. That would suit you just fine.
At least make that the subtitle, okay?
Ooh, make it the subtitle. Make sure you put it on the heading, too.
I'm going to put it on there. I'm going to put it on there. Don't call my bluff because I'll do it. But anyway, folks, in about 55 minutes, come on back, you know, go and get something to eat. Come on back and enjoy Sunday night. Go, you know, we play the best in R&B. We just have a great time on Sunday night. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow night. Now the one tonight starts at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Oh, it's only 6 o'clock your time, Dr. Sims. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I believe it's 8 o'clock your time, Ann. So anyway, awesome. it's a great show. Tonight and tomorrow night, 8:15, like I said. Now you can reach us on, just go to the website, studiowbuzz.com, studiowbuzz.com. Also, download one of two of our, or both of them, it depends on if you have both devices. Apple, just go to your Apple App Store and download studio.w. Android is simply Studio W. The website is studiowbuzz.com. Please leave a comment, and also we're available on Alexa. So everyone, hey, just have a great, great evening. Thank you so much again. And always going to get hot next week as well. And, Dr. Sims, looking forward to, being with you Thursday night.
It'll be a pleasure to have you, but don't start no trouble, will you?
I don't start no trouble.
Don't start getting all sentimental and feeling.
Like
he did last week.
A sentimental.
And behave.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. All
right. I had his daughter on there briefly. You didn't tell them that, William. She came aboard.
Really? Yeah, Nikki
and
B
I
was
had
on
it. Just impromptu, and it was very interesting.
Yeah.
But we had to tell him he was getting a little testy.
There's a difference between getting testy and sentimental. There's two different things.
William, don't get testy. I'll say it again.
Okay.
I love it all in one little ball.
You can't separate it.
Testy, I love. Sentimental, that's rare. Anyway, I'll talk to you soon.
Anyway,
I've got some.
Always at the last word.
Hey, you hear this one right here? Hey, this one right here. Okay. You need to get some act right, Dr. Sill.
Whatever. Right. It's not
going to
happen.
I didn't think so. Hey, good night, y'all. Enjoy.
There was a time when our love flowed like water. Nothing came between us. Two hearts beat as one. Over the years, we couldn't find the answers to the many questions that were pulling us apart.
said that mother will find a way, and I believe in that today. So if I have to let you go, I will do it. As far as I can see, you still belong right here with me. I can see you still belong right here with me.